Insights on Air by Barrels by Alex Partners.
Artificial intelligence is rapidly transforming entire industries, including automotive. And yet, in many places, there's still hesitation to implement it at scale. But there's one place that already seems a step ahead. China. What is China doing differently? Or rather, faster? What can we learn and what should we avoid? Especially given the geopolitical and economic climate? That's exactly what I'm talking about today with Malte Brockstermann, recorded near the Auto Shanghai, the largest and most important auto show in the world.
Hi, thank you for having me. Thanks for the invitation.
Malte, we're speaking here just outside the Auto Shanghai. What have you seen at the show in terms of AI that truly impressed you?
There are really two main observations that really impressed me and I want to share. One is AI isn't nearly as big of a public topic as anybody would have expected that visited the Consumer Electronics Show, CES, earlier this year. I've been there and I can say AI was everywhere. Every booth, every player, participant had some slogan on how they use AI. Here in Shanghai, AI is very visible or can be experienced in their vehicles, but is not nearly as public of a topic. And while I had a chance to explore AI virtual assistants in all Chinese vehicles that were able to really interact seamlessly with a lot of vehicle functions that I know I cannot access with a virtual assistant or voice command in my German car, like rolling down the windows, raising the sunroof, opening the doors, adjusting mirrors, all that stuff, that really stood out. And it shows how AI is really included in the consumer experience. And I think that in the end makes a difference when you compare what happens in China and what hopefully happens in other markets, but it's not there just yet.
We are seeing, as you just described, a lot of movement around AI in the automotive sector. What has happened in the last 2 years?
Yeah, I think the last 2 years were a little bit of a journey where, you know, it started with sort of hype around Gen AI, exploring a ton of what could be applications where we use it, trial phase, POC phase, but was then followed, when I look at the European side of things, by, I don't want to say disappointment, but for sure a little bit of realization that trying this technology out and realizing this as a means to generate additional profit or bottom line impact are two different things. And we learned from discussions with our clients that they're still waiting to deploy AI at scale and therefore also have not achieved significant bottom line impacts, at least not what, if you compare it to initial expectations that companies had when the first AI hype started. So that has cooled off a little bit. At the same time, in China, I think, you know, I see a different aspect because you have had a lot of foundational development, also China-specific foundational development, just like DeepSeek, which launched not too long ago. And I think very few people had prior knowledge about it. So it totally surprised established players in the AI space in Europe. And I see a lot of Chinese players leverage that. And both in combination, I think, make up for two exciting years. And it's now the time to turn this into a few lessons for how to scale AI, not only in China and in Chinese vehicles, but beyond China and into vehicles that are made by manufacturers outside of China.
Where does it come from?
I think where this comes from is that China was in a position or is in a position that I think the industry is more conducive to try things out. And when I think of the overall dynamics in the automotive world, then China has taken on the opportunity for the last 2 years to really continue at high speed while other markets were still trying to figure out how to deal with China speed. And it's obvious to me that restrictions that exist in maybe European or North American markets and in the vehicle automotive development space in general, the Chinese players were able to move past, specifically because a lot of electric vehicle platforms have been launched that offer more technological ability to leverage AI and AI agents, virtual assistants, I should say, like I described earlier, and in older vehicle platforms or existing vehicle platforms that don't offer the same technological capabilities because functions are hardware, not software driven, that is just not possible.
And then there's China, where things are moving at an entirely different speed. How would you describe China's approach to AI in contrast to Europe's? And what do you see as the most significant developments?
I think the biggest recipe to achieve China's speed, specifically in the context of AI within automotive, is obviously the rapid advancement of underlying tech. So both on the hardware side, whether it's chipsets, or on the software side, for example, DeepSeek, or the modeling side that fuels this. But overall, creating a really hyper-competitive environment around AI, where car manufacturers, tech players, other participants within the industry, be that startups or software development companies in general, really compete to offer the best AI experience. And that forces them to obviously also think about AI as a core component of the offering, which is what I realized, for example, when Li Auto, one of the Chinese manufacturers I had a chance to visit, decided to open source their entire vehicle operating system that they just launched. So think of this as a, you know, 5-year development effort that is now going to be sequentially open sourced and made available to everybody globally that has an interest in looking at it and utilizing it. And they have thought about making this operating system AI ready because they fully anticipate that AI will drive more functions within the vehicle, will drive more consumer interaction within and around the vehicle in the future. And that is built in, essentially, their design principles, at least, you know, what we can say based on the currently available information. And I think that is just a fundamental development and a shift that I personally have not seen outside of China.
What are the reasons we can't keep up? Why can't we just hit copy-paste?
Yeah, there's multiple elements to that. One is that I think if you think of this as a top-down environment that is obviously also established in China, where there's a government appetite for rapid technology and advancement of AI, and so a regulatory environment that's preferable to this happening, that's something we cannot copy and paste to Europe, for example, because yes, we have the EU AI Act, but generally legislation needs to be passed through, you know, 20-some member states rather than one government. So that's not copy-pastable. The other element is that the industry composition, as I just mentioned, where car manufacturers and tech giants, and sometimes they're both, really throw the best of what they can into the market to create an AI experience for consumers. I also feel that that's something that cannot just be copy and pasted because, let's be frank, if we do not have tech players of similar size and importance in a certain European country, it is also more difficult to create an environment like that. And I do think that Europe has a strong technology base, both in the automotive and in other relevant industries, for example, a semiconductor space. But when I compare the large providers of language models that obviously fuel any sort of AI interaction, very few are located in Europe. And that's a strategic disadvantage for us.
So we are looking at regulation versus growth. But is there anything we can copy and implement?
I think it is. So what's really transferable and what's relevant is that we need to make sure that as an industry, we make data sources available. The benefits of AI can be leveraged. And I do think that when, you know, this is probably still treated a little bit as a stepchild in many companies, given all the technology that's out there, though, I think it's the biggest lever to implement AI success at scale. And part of that will just mean companies need to commit basic funding, make it a strategic priority, and give it a little bit of time to show real benefits rather than deprioritizing the speed around AI and waiting for others to slow down, which I don't think will happen.
And what, in your view, is the one element that must be adopted for Europe to stay competitive?
in order to stay competitive, I think really being able to develop and seize opportunities at speed is the key differentiator. When you look at how fast I think the Chinese market has evolved over the last 2 years, since the last Auto Shanghai, and the OEMs and manufacturers have already done a big step, broadening their portfolio and offering more vehicles geared to the Chinese market. But I think this is just a stepping stone, and we're going to see in the next couple of years, so maybe one or two Auto Shanghais later, whether that will pay off. And I do think that in terms of competition in the AI space, that this is a really conducive to more speed. So that's something where we, as maybe from a European perspective, should be happy about rather than concerned. And I do think it's also on our regulators to make sure that the right way to approach and scale AI and also to regulate it doesn't slow companies down in achieving bottom line results.
What does this technological and organizational edge mean for customers, especially in the context of mobility?
It's one of the aspects I'm most excited about, because I do think over the next couple of years, the way we get to interact with cars or with means of mobility in general, and the way, the ease of which we can do things, experience things while we drive or get from point A to B will continuously evolve. And it will really be closer to what a couple of years ago still seemed fantasy, that you're going to be at some point find yourself in a vehicle and that helps you take care of tasks while you drive, which otherwise you could not have been able to do. So I think from a consumer, it will bring convenience. It will also bring customization. And I personally, I don't drive too much, but I'm excited about this, and we'll see which car maker does the best job at this.
And what are the implications for European OEMs? What needs to change for them to keep up or even lead the way?
I think embrace the challenge is what my recommendation would be. And there's lots of areas where AI can make a difference and can improve things. And you see also Chinese manufacturers like Li Auto launching their new operating system as part of an open source initiative, really thinking about this strategically and also the role of AI. So my recommendation would be, in order to keep up with the speed, don't shy away, commit to AI, consider this an opportunity way more than a threat, and learn from the competitiveness that happens here in the Chinese market, because consumers eventually, at least in China, but probably all over the world, will at some point get used to this and expect that. Lagging behind at that stage could really be difficult to maintain market share.
Thank you, Malte, for this fascinating insights and for taking us along to Shanghai. So, to sum up, while Europe is still caught up in regulatory frameworks, China is already scaling. For companies in the automotive industry, this means rethinking data strategies, accelerating development, thinking vertically, and keeping a sharp eye on the East.
That sums it up. Thank you very much.
If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to subscribe and share it with your colleagues. And as always, the key insights are summarized in the show notes. See you next time on Insights on Air.
Barrels by Alex Partners. The expertise of our top management consultants extends across the complete value chain of automobility, from long-term strategic planning to operational performance improvements. Based on our automobility thought leadership, Barrels by Alex Partners stand out with their broad experience, their profound industry knowledge, their innovative problem-solving competence, and last but not least, their entrepreneurial thinking. Thanks for listening, and until next time.